Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be with you on this Sunday morning. I hope that you're dry and warm, and while we often say it's good weather for ducks, I think even the ducks in Gauteng may appreciate a little bit of sunlight. Today's readings are quite hard and interesting, especially the gospel reading where we're told to love our enemies, and it's a theme that comes through all the readings. So I'm going to be looking a little bit at Joseph and where he reveals to his brothers who he is and their reaction to that. I'm going to be looking at a psalm by David, but I'm placing it in context, taking into account the relationship between David and Saul, and how even though Saul took 3,000 men to have David killed, David doesn't kill him when he's given the chance. And then we'll look at the gospel reading and how we're told to treat our enemies and love our enemies, in fact. So in Genesis we read, Joseph says to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" And we know that Joseph and his father had a very special relationship. His brothers don't answer him because they're terrified in his presence. Now, if we remember the story, they're absolutely terrified because they had wanted to kill him. They threw him in a pit and then they sold him into slavery simply because they were jealous of his relationship with his father. Then Joseph says to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he says, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in this land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant of earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it actually wasn't you who sent me here," says Joseph, "but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all of Egypt." Now let's go back to this just now, but first let's hear Joseph's words. He could obviously see beyond the physical. He could see beyond the betrayal of his brothers, the wrongful imprisonment that he'd gone through, and he could discern God's plan in all of this. So in spite of his deep suffering, unfair deep suffering, he could still see God's hand in it and could see God and look at God. Joseph goes on to say, "Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise you and your household and all that belong to you will become destitute.'" Now I wonder how you feel about the story. I often, when I go back to this, I wonder about the father favoring one child. I think maybe that was a little foolish, having had children myself. In our era, we would have said that's completely unfair. You can't favor one child over another. However, in my interactions with families, I hear it over and over again. Siblings saying, "But my parent favored that one. But my parent favored that one." And, you know, two children from the same home both think that the other one was favored more. It happens often. But in this, I think we know that Joseph was favored by Jacob. I wonder how you feel about the brothers. I mean, they decided to murder their brother because he was favored by the father. Then they sold him into slavery simply because they were jealous. How do you feel about that? I know that I find that outrageous that they would do something like that. And then they lied to their father and watched him suffer in grief because he had lost one of his favorite children. What I see in Joseph is that he didn't forgive them completely in the beginning. At least that's how I see it. But he did have revenge on them, as we see, because he framed them for theft. If you go and read the whole story in Genesis, you'll see that, causing great fear and anxiety to them. But I think his mindset when he speaks to them now is what fascinates me. God used this for good. I wonder if you can think of times when you felt that you've been unfairly treated and looked and said God used it for good, even though it was unfair at the time. I can think of a few times in my life when I've looked back and thought, okay, when I look at a story, especially like this, and I've never been treated like Joseph was, but when I look back at this, I can say, okay, I know that wasn't fair. I certainly didn't find it pleasant to go through what I went through. However, I can see how God has used this for good, because God does work everything together for good. So what I see at play in this whole story is forgiveness, Joseph's forgiveness of his brothers. I see wisdom, God's wisdom in Joseph. I see God's grace and discernment in Joseph. or fruits of the Spirit. And I think that we call then to exercise those in our lives, especially if we've gone through something. We call then to look at this. So when we look at this overarching theme of loving your enemies, Joseph's brothers actually were his enemies. They had wanted to kill him, and then they'd sold him into slavery, and they were okay with that. But he forgives them, tells them to come closer, and says, don't worry about it. I'm not angry with you. I mean, that is huge. So I just think if we're feeling a bit grumpy with someone, if we're feeling a bit angry with someone, if we've been deeply hurt even, because this was a huge thing, if we really are hurt, maybe we need to just sit with God and ask God to give us the grace to forgive them. Maybe it's just something we need to think about. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 102.7, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Shine, Jesus, Shine on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it is good to be with you this morning. I've started by telling you that the overarching theme of all the readings today is love your enemies, and we've briefly looked at the story of Joseph, very briefly, his brothers, and how Joseph revealed himself to them, and their reaction, but also how Joseph says, don't worry about it, I'm not angry with you, because God has used this for good. And we see in this story, really, how God can use things, or work all things together for the good of those who love God, but I think what fascinates me the most and that I admire the most is Joseph's wisdom and his grace in dealing with his brothers. So let's keep that in mind now as we look at a psalm written by David. But before we do, I need to just share some of the things of David, some comments on David. When we think of the life of David, setting aside the dreadful sin he committed later on, he was unfairly persecuted by Saul, and he had a hard life before Saul's death, always on the run, always in danger, always being hunted. And I think when we read the psalm, in keeping with our theme, even though Saul was unfairly persecuting David, David still showed love to him. And we see this in the book of Samuel. And when we look at that psalm, we see David believes that he doesn't need to judge, that God will do that, that we mustn't be fretting about things, getting angry with things, but we need to let it go. And we see David actually doing this when we look in the book of Samuel. So I want to read this quickly to you. David spares Saul's life. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he told them, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to sheep pens along the way. A cave was there and Saul went to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in that cave, and the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. David crept up unnoticed, cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Afterwards, he was conscience-stricken for having cut off the corner of his robe, and he said to the men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of God. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men, didn't allow them to attack Saul. Saul left the cave and went on his way. David goes out the cave and he calls to Saul. Now remember, Saul is pursuing him with 3,000 men. He says, my Lord and King. Saul looked behind him, David bowed down, prostrated himself with his face on the ground, and he says to Saul, why do you listen when men say to you, David's bent on harming you? This day you've seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I'm not going to lay a hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed. So my father, look at this piece of robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, and you didn't even notice, and I did not kill you. See, there's nothing in my hand to indicate that I'm guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you've done to me, but my hand will not touch you. And as the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds, my hand will not touch you again. And so this reading goes on, but what we see here is that Saul was pursuing David with 3,000 men to kill him. David has the opportunity to kill Saul. He doesn't do it. That's huge. Saul doesn't do it. He says, David is the anointed. He's his master, and he's not going to touch him. It's not right. He says, God will deal with you, but I won't. And I like that, that we just hand things over to God, and that's what we're called to do. So when we look at the gospel and we're told to love our enemies, let's remember this, that we can hand it over to God and still love them with the love of God. So what I think when we read David's psalm, we need to keep in mind that David himself practiced this. In reality, in real time, he practiced just letting things go. So when he says, and this is part of Psalm 37, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. When people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, just refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. And then he goes on to say, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked, saves them because they take refuge in him. I'm actually going to encourage you to sit with some of the psalms that David wrote and just see the wisdom in these psalms, taking into account the experience of David's life, that he had done nothing wrong and Saul decided to persecute him. And he had to live in fear and be hunted, even though he'd done nothing wrong. And then when he finally has the opportunity to take revenge on Saul, he doesn't do it. He steps back and he doesn't do it. And so his psalms then are a reflection of the way in which he was living at that time, where he left everything up to the Lord. He trusted in God, trusted his life to God, and it was up to God to avenge something if God wanted to. But he lived his life free and his conscience free because he was living in God. This is obviously, I'm not talking here about the things that he did wrong, but this is obviously his relationship with Saul that I'm talking about. Coming up next on the Mighty Heart 1027, Tell Out My Soul.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
Tell Out My Soul on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it is good to be with you. The theme this morning is a difficult one. It is hard for us as humans. The theme is love your enemies. We've looked at Joseph and how kind he is to his brothers, how he's filled with grace and wisdom and forgiveness. He even says, I'm not even angry with you because God brought me here so that I could save all of you. And we've looked at David and his relationship with Saul and how he's hunted by Saul, but he doesn't take the opportunity to revenge that or avenge that in any way, but he lets Saul go unscathed, even though he had the opportunity to kill him and even though Saul was hunting him with 3,000 men. Now we come to the gospel reading, and this is a really hard reading because it's an instruction. But to you who are listening, love your enemies. So this is from Luke chapter 6. To you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Just pause there for a moment. Do good to those who hate you. It's not easy for us to do that, but we call to treat them with the same love of God that we would have for anyone else. So we need to do good to them. We need to bless those who curse us. And I think one of the things I've done, actually, and pray for those who mistreat you, when I feel that someone has mistreated me, or is being unfair towards me, I often place them in God's hand. I do pray for them. I do ask God to bless them. And I place them in God's hand because there's no safer place for them to be. And in that way, I feel that we are actually doing what we're called to do. We're praying for them and we're blessing them. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So here we've been called to treat everyone in the same way we want to be treated. Even those who aren't being nice to us, even those who are perhaps persecuting us. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. This sentence always strikes me, if you love those who love you, because it's so easy to love those who love you. And if you only do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. This is hard. It's really hard for us. But we can only do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why it is so essential to have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because there's no other way we could love our enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back if we weren't doing it in the power of God. It would be really hard to do it in our human power alone. Then we're told, then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And of course, it brings me back to the cross where Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People who had just done the cruelest thing ever to him, the cruelest death, so cruel that it was outlawed in Rome eventually. And he's saying, Father, forgive them. There we see Jesus in action, living out these exact things. And then in verse 37, we're told, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given back to you in good measure. Pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So let's just look at this for a moment. We're told that we need to love our enemies. A very, very difficult thing for us to do. However, when we look at Jesus on the cross, I think it sometimes makes it easier for us. And someone once said to me, Shona, you don't have to like the person. You just have to love them with the love of God. And that helped me. I don't know if it's true that we don't have to like the person, but it does help me to say I have to love them with the love that God would show towards them, because we're called to do that. And so it somehow softens it a bit if you don't have to really like that person, but you have to love them with the love of God. Jesus goes one step further than just forgiveness when he says we have to show them love. I think perhaps something else that might help us is trying to see God in the other, although sometimes that might be hard for us to do. Perhaps we need to look past the person to God, as Joseph did. That might make it a little easier to look to God all the time and to say, what would Jesus do if Jesus was standing here? How would Jesus be behaving towards that person? And I think we need to remember what God's love looks like. What is God's love? God's love is forgiveness. God's love is grace. We need to ask for that wisdom. We need to ask for that discernment. We need to ask God to fill us to overflowing with God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness, so that we walk through this life in that place of forgiveness and grace. And then, of course, we're called not to judge. And who are we to judge? Because we sometimes get it wrong. So often people come to us and say, so-and-so did this or did that. But when you unpack it, or if you know differently, you can say to them, but actually, your judgment is not correct. You didn't understand the full context of the whole story. And I hear it often, obviously, as a priest, where I get snippets of the story. But sometimes I do know the whole story. And then I can say to the people, actually, you're wrong. And if they're wrong, then I'm also wrong often in my judgment. So we need to rely on the judgment of God, not our own judgment. And we need to stop judging altogether, in fact, and just release the person to God. David released Saul to God, and we see it in his psalm. He believes you just release everyone to God. We too need to do that. Jesus asked for forgiveness for the people who were crucifying him. We need to be that forgiving. And so as we journey through this week, let us just reflect back perhaps on old hurts and see if we still need to release them. Ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit to allow us to do that. Let us also see who we need to extend God's love to, even people that perhaps have harmed us or we don't like. And let us see how we can ask God to allow us to walk through this life in grace and forgiveness, showing God's love to all. I pray that you have a wonderful week. I pray that you feel God's love at work in your life, and that if there is any negativity in you, that it's released to God. To wrap up this morning, majesty, worship his majesty, and a new commandment. And of course, I chose a new commandment on purpose because we need to love one another as God loves us. And so let's go out and be God's hands and feet and voice of love in a world that is really hurting. May God bless you. May you have a wonderful Sunday and a great week. Thank you so much for listening.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 102.7.